Gopi Jana Balaba Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Jana Pallava Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Pada Paramahangasa Paribrajakachar is Tatara Satashishimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnavarinda Ki, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sergaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Vina Shamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamaki, Shri Maipur Dhamaki, Ganga Maiki, Jamuna Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindaki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sabai Tebhyo Namaskritya Nisango Vigataspriha Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhaktya Chakre Manavparam Savai Tebhyo Namaskritya Nisango vigatas priha Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhaktya Chakre Manav Param Savaitebhyo Namaskritya Nisango vigatas priha Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhaktya Chakre Manav Param. सा ही गंति देव वाय इंडीड ते ब्या अंतु लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा लॉर्ड शिवा एंड द अदर डेमिगॉड्स नमः कृत्या ऑफरिंग ओबेसेंसेस Nisanga, with no ambition to take any benefit from them. Vigata spriha, completely free from desires, from material possessions. Vasudeve, unto Lord Vasudeva. Bhagavati, the Supreme Lord. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Chakre, fixed. Mana, the mind. Param, as the ultimate goal of life. Translation. King Rantidev had no ambition to enjoy material benefits from the demigods. He offered them obeisances, but because he was factually attached to Lord Vishnu, Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he fixed his mind at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Anya devashraya nai tomare kahinu bhai, se bhakti parama karana. If one wants to become a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, one should not hanker to take benedictions from the demigods. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kamais tais ter hridhigyana prabhadyante nyadevataha. Those befooled by the illusion of the material energy worship gods other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although Rantidev was personally able to see Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, he did not hanker to take material benefits from them. Rather, he fixed his mind upon Lord Vasudeva and rendered devotional service unto him. This is the sign of a pure devotee, whose heart is not adulterated by material desires. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam anakulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So in the performance of the devotional process, then it should always be very clear in the mind of the devotee this position, where the devotee only wants to please Krishna. He has nothing to fully wants for himself. Because being part and parcel of Krishna, if Krishna's happy, you're taken care of. Like Prabhupada gives the example. The leaves of the tree don't have to separately endeavor for their own maintenance. If the root of the tree is watered, it all works nicely. Does that make sense? Or the hand. If the hand puts the food in the mouth, the hand is taken care of. So you don't have to think that, okay, we'll do this for Krishna, we have to also do this for ourselves. No, we just have to do things for Krishna. And Krishna, being the complete whole, he will take care. We may say, okay, but what about taking care of the body and this and that? But who is taking care, right? The body is there. Why is this dead matter alive? You can say, oh, the soul is there, but that's not enough. The soul doesn't have the potency to animate this big body, right? That's millions and billions of times bigger than it. So we say it's the life force is there, but that life force is Krishna, right? We take it the life force is the jiva. No, the life force is Krishna. The jiva is there, then Krishna has the life force there. When the jiva leaves, the life force goes. Right? Why? Because when the Lord goes, then the jiva goes with him, the life force goes along also. Right? When super soul goes, the soul goes, the life force goes, it all goes. Right? So it's important to note that it's Krishna who's taking care of everybody and everything. It's not ourselves. We may take part in the methods that Krishna says, Right? We may take part in that, just like the hand may take part and put the food in the mouth. But the hand still can't claim that it's maintaining everything. Because the hand isn't chewing, it's not swallowing, it's not digesting, it's not nourishing the body, it's not doing any of that. Right? It's taking part. Right? You want something, let's say, someone wants money. You take part in the process, Krishna's process, that generates money, the economic process given by Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? You do something and you get some result from that. Because Krishna is ever expanding, the energies are ever expanding, so therefore you deal with the energies, they always expand. But that means you have to deal in the appropriate way. Otherwise the energy goes away, it gets less. But it's Krishna's system, not our system. Right? So when we appreciate that it's all about Krishna, then there's no interest in anything material. There's no need of anything material. All there is need of is service to Krishna, and Krishna being everything, everything's already included. That faith, that's what will move you forward in devotional service very nicely. We have that faith that the devotional process is all that's required. One can say, oh, but what about this? What about that? Where are they coming from? Right? If we say, oh, no, what about economics? What about justice? You know, what about science? But where are these coming from? Right? They're not coming from individuals. You can say, no, but the science, but they're observing something that already exists. Right? Yeah, a geologist observes the earth that's already there. It's not that by his observing it, it becomes there. That's what the Buddhists say, right? There's nothing there, it's illusion, but because you're seeing it that way, therefore it's existing. But that existence is also illusion, so like this and that. But the point is that's Buddhism. Right? That, because the geologist looks at it, now there's the science. No, the science has always been there. Now they just noticed it. Does that make sense? Right? You know, let's say you go to somebody's house. You know, they're having a special occasion. Now when you walk in there and notice the decorations, now they're manifest. Before you walked in the door, it was just an empty blank thing. Until you came up and knocked on the door and walked through the door, there was actually nothing behind the door. Right? It's a little known fact. It's just like, see, is that in Hollywood, right, they have a thing, they call them facade. Right? It means they have, let's say, a street, it's buildings, it's just a front. There's nothing behind it. Right? So actually, everywhere where you go in the world, everything's just a facade. There is nothing, because you're seeing that facade, that's why it's there. Only when you walk through the door, now something's behind the door, right? Because you're creating it all, because your senses saw it, right? I mean, it's a little appreciated fact, but, you know, I mean, we have to be realistic here. You know, credit should be given where credit's due, right? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that all this science was already there. It's already Krishna. It's his system. It's the laws of nature. Scientists even say laws of nature. They don't accept God, but they'll accept the laws, at least. Okay, so accepting these laws, then there you perform something according to the law, you get a result. No scientists will say you can go against the law and get a good result. They'll say you have to follow the law. Right? So that's just what Shastra says. Follow the rules, you get a result. You don't follow the rules, you don't get a result. Right? If you know the science, you follow the rules. You don't know the science, you do whatever you like. So in this modern age where everyone just does what they like means you're having a lot of non-scientific people. Right? That's all. Bunch of children. Like that. Does that make sense? That's the difficulty. So the point is that by seeing everything in connection with Krishna, that's where you actually get the result. It's whether you directly see it that way or indirectly, but there's no question of not seeing it that way. You don't have an alternative, right? There's either Krishna as Paramatma, Krishna as Brahman, or Krishna as Bhagavan. And in this way, that is his himself. So either you accept him as a person, render devotion, and then the aspects of Brahman and Paramatma will be taken care of because you're pleasing him. They're part of him, the features of him. Right? Or you can take the Brahman level and take all the science and all that, but why does Brahman work? It's Krishna's effulgence. Any good qualities we see in something we appreciate, like science or anything else, arts and that, that's all just from the effulgence of Krishna's Brahma-jyoti. It's not coming from somewhere else. So we're accepting Krishna, but we're not knowing it's Krishna. Therefore, it's given the term atheism, right? There's no such thing as not being Krishna, but if people don't accept it as Krishna, it's called atheism. But it doesn't change the position, right? It's not because I believe in it, it happened. It exists, and I don't believe in it, it doesn't exist, right? Right? It's not like because of the decorations, I see them, they're fabulous, I believe that it's because I produced them. Or I don't like them, so they just disappear. Right? So it doesn't really matter if you accept God or not. The point is that his existence is there, and he's pervading. So for the devotees, they know it's only Krishna. So and because they're interested in devotion, they're not really worried about how Krishna's technically maintaining everything. He's doing that. That's his job. We do ours, which is devotion. And taking care of that, serving him in devotion, all these other technical things are taken care of. Because even Krishna himself, personally, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's through his expansions, his Paramatma and Brahman, that he gets this done. He himself just interacts with the devotees. So you don't have to say, oh, but it's sentimental. No, sentimental means you don't understand the science. We understand the science, so therefore then we take part in the actual factual thing. Is that aspect of Bhagavan. So that's not sentimental. That's science. The other is looking at science, but sentimentally approaching it. Does that make sense? Well, we understand the science, but we prefer to deal in the personal relations. So then someone like Rantidev, then he's seeing everything connected to Krishna. He has no other purpose other than serving Krishna. So he does not have any aspect that he's not fully satisfied. And we see from him, he's glorious because of this. Right? Others, all these other names in the line that have been given, then they're great kings, they do special things, they do their duties, they do everything nice. But we see is that for Bhagavatam, it will bring out kings like this, like Rantidev, who because of their devotion to the Lord, that is special, that's brought out, that's appreciated. And then from that, then we can have benefit. So, since you're absorbed in Krishna, the demigods are part and parcel of Krishna. If you're worshipping Krishna, why the demigods? There's nothing to gain from them. If there was some aspect that they could do some service for Krishna, some connection to service to Krishna, that's fine. But for himself, if dealing with Krishna, he has nothing to gain. Why would he have something to gain from part of Krishna? Right? So that's the whole point, because Krishna includes all these things. So such position, this is coming not because of technically doing things, but because of a realization of appreciating, having that faith in Krishna. That's why it's happening. That faith is what's important. The technical things are going to go on. Right? Krishna's taking care of that. But that faith in Krishna, that's then where the real substance is. Right? Because we take something as substance because of the experience we have. Right? If I have no experience of something, it has no substance. I get an experience from something, then now it has substance. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is that personal dealings, that's where the substance is. The technical mechanicals that's there, that's not the substance. Now how much that mechanics can be engaged in the service of the Lord, and that service of the Lord, that gives actual, experience, devotional experience, now it has substance. So that's the point. Rantideva won't see it other than how it has substance and connection to the Lord. And if it doesn't, it's not within the realm of his service and that, then he has nothing to gain. Brahma, it's his service to maintain the universe. He's doing that. But Ranti Dev has nothing to gain from that. Does that make sense? He's serving the Lord. So this position of this faith, this switching of the faith from seeing the mechanics and connecting it to the Lord to it's about the Lord. And therefore, all other aspects, all the mechanical aspects are already included. That then is the vision that these great devotees have, the great personalities have. And because of that, that's what's then special. Right? That's why then they're mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because then we can be inspired. We can see, yes, this is how it's done. Someone could say, oh no, but you know, I have so many responsibilities, this and that. He's a king. King means responsibilities. Right? Does that make sense? So all these things are there. So we can be inspired that we see devotees in all these different positions, whether they're renounced, whether they're, you know, in family life. All these, we have examples of so many nice devotees and how they in every situation are able to be absorbed in the Lord. So with that in mind, then we ourselves then try to appreciate that. Right? That's the standard we want to come to. That. Any questions or comments? Or anything? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. So, since the process of devotional service is the main thing, how can we be fully convinced and apply devotional service?
How can we apply ourselves in devotional service?
Yes.
How can we be convinced and fully apply? By association. See, the most important thing in the whole devotional process is association. We see is that by associating with devotees before we even know about devotional service, then we become aware of devotional service and gain faith in devotional service. The next step then is to take shelter of devotees. And so that process of having that faith and shelter of devotees and serving with devotees, that just continues throughout. So all these things are always going throughout. These processes are explained. And many times we see in the explanation that it in one sense is giving a context like it's talking about an advanced position, but the explanation of it we see is very simple and it's accessible and it's something that we're engaged in or exposed to. That's because the process starts all the way through like that. Like the first thing is Shravanam, you hear. But that just keeps going until all there is the desire to hear. You don't want anything else. You don't want to hear anything else than Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Right? So then it takes on its perfectional position. So we start in these positions and it goes through. So all these are there. And then you see is that these next stages come. But then these stages have their ultimate position. So you can have stages in the beginning that we go through, but at the same time is those same positions have their ultimate, perfection. Right? So it ultimately ends in prema. Though it may start with us just on the street bumping into a devotee and them talking about something. Right? So the whole that's where that hearing then becomes perfect. You know, or we take up that association, it becomes perfect. But Krishna is always associated with his pure devotees. Right? So he's God. He's always in the best position. Right? Means if he wanted to be surrounded by yes men, he could do it. Right? But he wants to be surrounded by pure devotees. So that's why the process is all about pure. Because if we're going to be associated with Krishna, that means we're associated with pure devotees. But we don't know how to associate with Krishna. They do. That's why Krishna likes to be around them. So by being with the pure devotees, we understand what is pure devotional service. So that's why you see is in here that the acharyas are always talking about the pure devotional service. They mention the mechanics, but they're secondary. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say you're eating the feast after the festival. So it's about the festival, it's about the day, the Lord, the association of devotees, the nice prasad that's there, that whole association, the honoring of prasad, and all that. But in there, technically, you pick things up with your right hand and put them in your mouth. But it's not about that, it's about the honoring prasad and the association of devotees. You understand? So, but the technical thing isn't the real thing. It's there, that's just how it's done. So in the same way as there's all the mechanics of how we sit, how we chant, this, but it's not about that, it's about the chanting itself, being absorbed in the name. Right? The name and Krishna are non-different, that absorption. Right? That's the real thing. These others are just there because they can be helpful. And if you can use them, great. And if you can't use them, then you don't. Right? No one's going up to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and telling him, hey, you know, you should sit straight, it's better for chanting. Right? They're not going to do that. So in other words, you can do these things, you use it. But the point is if in using it you get distracted, like if someone does yoga, you know, this health and this chanting and all that, and it helps, and he's able to focus on Krishna, it's great. But if you get into yoga, he just gets more into yoga. Then what's the point? There's so many yogis. You know, it's like Prabhupada was at Kumbh Mela with the devotees in 77, and there was this one small group of, looked like young boys, like 16-year-old boys, but huge matted locks and everything like that, you know? And their mood was is that they were very old. But they look at them, they're only like 16 years old. And Prabhupada didn't, he just, you know, as they walked by, Prabhupada said, those yogis over there, they're like 300-400 years old. You know what I'm saying? So that's yoga. Right? And they don't have any leotards, they don't have those little blocks, you know, they don't have the little ropes, they don't have the little book, that, you know, those are yogis. Right? So, therefore, if it's useful, you use it. But when it goes beyond that, it just takes on that, the secondary aspect takes prominence. That's where then it loses its importance. It doesn't have any importance anymore. You can say as no, but it could do that, but it's not. So unless you engage it, it's not. Not that, oh yeah, but money is so important. No, it's not. If it's engaged in Krishna's service, it becomes important. It's not, it doesn't have any meaning. So that's the thing, is just seeing it connected to Krishna. So Ranti Dev, because he sees everything connected to Krishna here, he's not disturbed. He sees the Lord's coming. He's offering all the things to the Lord. He's serving the Lord. And in this way, then, he's absorbed in the Lord. So everything's perfect for him. Right? And then his maintenance, that Krishna will take care of. He does his duties, but it's up to Krishna. We can say as no, but you have to maintain yourself. Is that that? Can you maintain yourself? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you go to work, and then let's say you're going to work, and there's, you know, some kind of disaster that's there. You can't get to work. So how are we saying no, but you have to do it yourself? We do our duties. The maintenance is taken care of by Krishna. Right? It means to think about it. Why? Because you get in some kind of moving vehicle and sit in there for an hour. Then you walk up some stairs, you go up an elevator, you sit at a particular desk, and you have this funny little rectangle in front of you with little buttons on it, and you push them. Why is it that doing that for 8 hours a day, that you deserve to be fed? You know what I'm saying? People have not pushed buttons on computer for millions of years and have not died. Right? Caesar conquered an empire without pushing a computer. But he had to eat. Everyone has to eat or they die. That's a known fact. Don't eat, you die. So why is it that you do these inconsequential things and somehow or another you're fed? You understand? You get pieces of paper, right? Yeah. So means we went by that. Means how thick is that? right? Now that's 500, you know, how you say, euro notes. How much is that? Yeah, but if I go to a shop, they're not going to take it. That money's just paper. So why is it the paper people are willing to risk their life and work so hard? It's paper. You know what I'm saying? And before paper was everywhere, now plastic is everywhere. And now you see some money's turning into, is using plastic money. So then that makes it even easier. There's plastic everywhere. That means everyone's rich. You know? It's like the villages of India are like the richest in the world, right? You know, they got enough plastic for everybody, right? Is that, yeah? So why is it there? It's because of Krishna's potency. So Krishna's taking care. As long as we think we're doing it, yes, you run around, you try to take care. But still the results are up to Krishna. So why not just interact with Krishna and do your duties to please Krishna? And then you get a taste of that relationship with Krishna rather than just the, you know, the, what do you call it? The you know, frustration of the rat race. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that? Yeah. Okay. So, something else?
So Maharaj, in 17th century Western natural philosophers, they had different debates amongst themselves. One side said that God directly intervenes in the creation and maintenance of the world. And then another side, they said, no, that's not true. That God doesn't directly intervene, but then sets up these natural laws which are divine. And by discovering these natural laws, we get to know more about God. And then later, the others who said that, yes, there are these natural laws, but also sometimes God himself does something extraordinary with some miracles at the same time. So what is the fact from the Vaishnava perspective on this?
Are you a philosophy major or?
Well, I study science and religion sometimes.
Okay. So, see, is that we're taking it that it has to be this or that, right? That's the question. Is it that God himself takes care of everything personally, or God doesn't take care of anything at all personally, just set it up and then you personally do it? How about God runs everything, but he personally doesn't do it? That's what we'd say. The material energy controls everything and runs everything. So that thing of where God's hand is in everything, that's the material energy. But God's sanctioning. And the other one where they say is God just sets it up, because he does, the primary creation, then it's taken care of by Brahma and others. So the point is it's both. Why does it have to be this or that? That's the difficulty, is that when you're dealing with the secondary, it always has to be a secondary element. It's this secondary or that secondary. But the point is all these secondary elements have all come from the Supreme Lord. He is the primary. So when you see something in relationship to the primary, all the secondary things, the relative aspects of them are all reconciled, because they're all there in the primary. The difficulty is they can only see, because all there is Krishna to deal with, so everybody's seeing some aspect of Krishna, but they're seeing according to the modes of nature. So depending on what modes they're in, then they're going to see something. Right? So the ones that are saying, no, God's taking care of all that, are appreciating that we are not actually in control. The other group, they think, no, God set it up and now we have to do something. We're the guys. We're the, you know, we step forward. We make it happen. We make the glory happen. Because those are the ones that want to do something. The other ones then have the kind, well, I'm not actually in control. Right? You understand? So it's just a matter of what mode of nature they're under. Then they see in a particular way. And depending upon what's happening to them, that perspective may change. But know it for certain, if anything goes wrong in either of these, it's God's fault. Right? Because if God's hand is in everything and it doesn't go the way I like it, it's God's fault. Not my fault, because then I have no responsibility. It's God's. The other one, it's not God's responsibility, it's ours. But we get the credit. He doesn't. Right? Does that make sense? So one, they give the credit, but I get the benefit. The other one, I may or may not get the benefit, but I get the credit. So it's just a matter of each one has what's important to them. Does that make sense? So there's a good chance that those who are saying about how we do something are the ones that will be, you know, your politicians and social leaders. And the other ones will be more, you know, either religious or they'll be more armchair-y kind of, you know, people. Does that make sense? All these things are there because they're all part of the thing. It's just that they're trying to make a complete philosophy out of one thing. You know, it's like the Upanishadic example of the elephant and the six blind men. They try to make a complete elephant out of the one aspect of the elephant that they are able to perceive. So for one, he's like a thin snake. Another one, he's a big fat snake. Depends if they got the tail or the nose. So one is he's like a bird if they got the ears. Another, he's like a tree if they got the leg. You understand? So that they're taking an aspect that may have some validity, and they may be taking a position that has some use, but they're trying to make it complete in itself when it's not. It's part of a bigger picture. Does that make sense? So in dealing with all these things, you always have to go back to the primary, and how is this aspect they're talking about come from the primary? And then you can show the proper balance. But if we simply try to discuss on that secondary level, then the problem is you'll never be able to convince them. You think, I'll be able to, I'm so good, I can convince them. But they don't convince themselves, let alone each other. Right? If you're in the academy, one person has his theory, but only he can have that theory completely. It's his. He wrote the doctrine. It's his. He's the authority. No one else is. You want to be an authority? Write your own. Right? So no one agrees fully. There's enough cooperation that they agree to disagree so that they can have an academy. But the point is it's not really well held together. So only if you accept the Supreme Lord, the primary, then you can hold together all these different views. There's not a problem. The Vedic is the one that can hold together all the views. But you have to know which part. See, as the modern is, there's no, my part is the whole part. And everybody can feel that their part is the whole part. And so we just agree that everybody's, their opinion knows it's all good. But if you want to practically apply that, you can't because there's overlap. And so there's going to be dissension. So you have to be able to say, your opinion goes up to here and stops. And then the other guy's opinion starts and goes to here. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that when it comes to doing the work, yes, you have to do the work. God's made the creation. You have to have the knowledge. You have to do the work. Right? So you can't say, no, leave it up to God, he'll do it. No, that's wrong. That's in the next section. But once you've done the work, the results of it, that has to come from the Supreme. So now that other group, now they're correct. The Lord, he gives the results, but he doesn't do the work. You do the work. Right? It's his creation. You do the work. According to that, you get results. So he's in control of the creation, the laws, and the results. And then now you can take part in whichever part you want. And which area you work in, that's where you'll get your results. You work in politics, you'll get results in politics. You work in economics, you'll get it in there. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of appreciating that all these things are just part of the Lord. And if it has any truth in it, it's because it's part of the Lord. But to try to take that and make a complete philosophy out of it, that's where the Maya comes in. So we have to be able to take the essence of what it is, what part of the, what they're saying, what's the essence and how that connects to the Lord, and then show that. And all the rest of it don't even bother with. Does that make sense? Because even they don't understand it. Does that make sense? Does that work? Yeah? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Yes, you're on the air.
Maharaj, I got a doubt. So Supreme Personal Lord
Christ, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is our what we are going to believe, and we are completely praying Lord Krishna.
We're going to become
Lord Krishna is our Supreme Personality of Godhead.
He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yes.
So then in between, you know, because you know, we got two scriptures, one is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So after this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is existing, and why in between there are four sampradayas existing?
Why are there four sampradayas?
Ramadvaita, Advaita, Shuddha Advaita, Mishra Advaita, sampradayas, different, so, different acharyas like Ramanujacharya.
No, but what's the question? The question is, why are there four sampradayas?
Because already existing the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, why the sampradayas are existing in between and
Why are the sampradayas existing in between?
In between and deviating the people also like different.
What do you mean deviating?
Deviating in the sense, suppose
No, but I'm saying why deviating means the let's say we take the Sri Sampradaya. They're trying to serve Lord Vishnu and go back to Godhead. The Madhvas are trying to serve Lord Vishnu and go back to Godhead. Then the Mbarkas, the Vishnu Sampradaya, they're all trying to serve the Vishnu and go back to Godhead. Why use the term deviation? Buddhists, now that's a deviation. Like that. Materialists are a deviation. Scientists are a deviation. Modern academics, that's a deviation. Modern social workers, that's a deviation. Sahajiyas, that's a deviation. You know what I'm saying? The Sampradayas, that's no deviation. So you're talking about a very big place. Okay? Yeah? So, now let us just take, let's say you have the spiritual world. It's the big place. Right? Krishna's unlimited, spiritual world's unlimited, and he is the Lord of Rasa, so there's all kinds of Rasa. He is Rasa, so therefore whatever particular attraction a particular individual soul has for Krishna, then they take part in services to that feature of Krishna. And that feature of Krishna then has a completeness in itself. That's the point. When Krishna is a feature, it's complete in itself. If we take something from Krishna and not connected to Krishna, it's not complete in itself. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, even in your body, is there a difference between your hand and your ears? That means the hand is kind of flat like that, can move around a little bit. Your ears are flat, can move around a little bit. So they're the same, right? Or are they different? So now if we say, why is it we're making this difference between the ears and the hands? You know, and the hands are flat and they have nails on the top. My toes also have like that. Why are you making a difference between the hands and the feet? You understand? So you have all these different relationships with Krishna. So then you have different devotees who come to show the path how to approach the Lord in those different features. And those who have the interest in that feature, then they are attracted and follow that particular line. Because Krishna is the one who started the Sampradaya. He spoke to Brahma, he spoke to Lakshmi, he spoke to Shiva, he spoke to the Kumaras. Not that Krishna only spoke to, you know, somebody, and then all these other guys just started their own thing. Does that make sense? They're all there, they're coming from Krishna. So they're all following and doing there. They want to go to Vaikuntha, they'll go to Vaikuntha. Right? The Gaudiyas, they're interested in going to Braja. So then that's where you go. So it's just a matter of where you want to go. It's just like you go into the bus stand and there's so many buses there. It's a bona fide bus stand. Bona fide buses and all that, bona fide drivers, all these things that you could complain. Why so many buses, you know, going to so many places? Why isn't everybody just going to the place I'm going? So the point is as long as they're going to the spiritual world, serving the Lord, what's the problem? So it's not a deviation. They're the ones that are bringing the deviant living entities from their material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. So these four sampradayas, they have that glory they're taking back to God. It's just where you want to go. So Lord Chaitanya is offering something that hasn't been offered, that one can go to Braj. That hasn't been given by the other sampradaya. So that's what's special there. So if you want to go there, then this is the line. You want to go somewhere else, then the others are going. And the fun part is, since this bus goes the full route, you get off wherever you want on the way, even using our bus. So it'll be easier to go to Vaikuntha using our system than it will be to the others. But the point is their systems are bona fide. Is that okay? Yeah? Anyone else? No? Okay, jai. Gruntarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.